still in the rehab. He can catch punch, but we can't touch him. But next week we'll kind of see where he is, and we'll have a better feel for that. Herman update, he got his screws taken out. We're thinking 4 to 6 weeks. So we hope by the second half of the season he can come in and get back in it. Cincinnati, prior to last year, 33 wins in 3 years and 2 BCS games. Sugar Bowl, Orange Bowl, that's a lot of wins. And veteran group, I looked at their starting 22, and I think 18 of them are upperclassmen, 11 seniors, 7 juniors. So they're all back. I think they only lost one guy on defense in their top 11 production. So they got everybody back on defense. And then their offense is one of those nightmare offenses because they got a great quarterback who was all conference. They spread the field and generate numbers by doing so. And they have a fabulous running back who had over 1,000 yards and a lot of speed. So we're going to have to do a great job of tackling in space. And we're going to have to do a great job with assignment football. And so this is a very good football team coming in, and we'll see where our team is. So I'll open it up with that.
Jared, you talked, you guys all talked last week about dealing with the spread better than you did a year ago. Obviously, you weren't playing Oregon on Saturday or anything
right.
like that. But in terms of assignments and making those tackles out on the perimeter, do you feel like you were noticeably improved from a year ago?
I do. I feel like we improved from a year ago, but there's a lot of scary things that you see. That, you know, the better the team is, the more you get exposed. So sometimes things look good, but you go, uh-oh, and the other team's looking at it going, oh, wow, there's an opportunity there. So we're going to find out how we can really handle the spread this week because these guys are really good. I mean, they had, even last year with the season that they had, first-year coach, a lot of change. It's always difficult. But they had Oklahoma beat. I mean, And scoring was not the issue. I mean, they score a lot of points. And you put 72, I don't care who you're playing. It's a lot of points. So it's going to be a hard one.
How much does having seen it just on Saturday help? Is there a lot of carryover for you guys schematically from you got to face an offense similar?
There's a little carryover. But, you know, every spread team's a little different. And this team really has elements of everything. They do a good job. Because they got weapons everywhere. So is there a little carryover? Yes. But each spread team's unique, and probably what these guys do more than a lot of spread teams is they have an ability to generate big plays down the field. You know, they push it vertically a little bit more than just dinking it out there all the time. So they do it all. It's going to be hard.
Derek, with that vertical pass threat, are you guys settled in at the secondary? You think you have the guys that you
need? No, we're not going to be settled for a while. We're going to keep, you know, seeing where we go. You know, last week we played about 50-50. When we went nickel, Gordon was in there sometimes. Randolph was in there sometimes. So we'll keep playing with that, keep trying to figure out if we can use Prentice different ways. So it's work in progress.
Which of those two do you prefer?
The
either one?
The one that works. And I don't know what that is. That's why we're still experimenting. If I knew it, I'd already be doing it, you know. It's not a committee.
I see a challenge in playing a quarterback who passes first and looks to pass, but is also a running threat.
Well, just take our guy, Tyler. You don't worry about him running around. And he still has to be able to generate some plays with his feet, but when you design your pass rushes, your games up front, you never worry about that. But when quarterbacks can move, it's like you're one short somewhere. You're either going to compromise his ability to run, and he's going to gash you, or you better have all that protected, and it's going to slow you down on the pass rush or pull one out of coverage. So it's hard, and the reason, you know, all those quarterback run teams, the reason it's effective is because it's an extra player they have that you have to account for. Now, there's negatives to it, too, you know. There's not a lot of guys out there who are really good at both. So that's always one of the challenges of it. Cincinnati has one that's good at both. And then, of course, there's a challenge of getting them through the year physically because they're going to get hit. And so, you know, it's like any offense. There's good and bad to both. But it's certainly when you have a guy that can do both, it's a hard weapon.
The way their game went Saturday, you probably got a lot of looks on what they're doing well, running the ball, I guess 7 yards of carry and everything like that.
Yeah, and they only really played a half. I mean, I think they had almost 50 points the first half, so, and then they put their second string in. So it really wasn't a lot. They didn't have to show a lot because the little they showed was effective.
You sort of alluded to this, but you didn't play as fast on defense as you wanted to, did you? And is that a concern against the team?
No, I thought we did. I thought we played well. You know, we had a few screw-ups. We were a little soft on the perimeter when they threw those little quick screens, but we adjusted, and we gave up a couple of big plays on missed assignments. And those, you know, if we have mental errors Saturday, it's going to be a bludgeoning. And if we can't tackle in space aggressively with a lot of orange shirts to the ball, then it's going to be a track meet.
Derek, having seen the film, can you talk about what you got from A.J. and Kirk at linebacker and how valuable is it for them to see themselves on film?
They had a real solid day, both of them. Didn't overwhelm you at anything they did, but didn't make mistakes. They were where they're supposed to be. They fit, and I thought that was encouraging because you're always worried the first time they're out there, and I think they're just going to get better and better.
Coach, some of the offensive linemen in the game that they were having some communication problems and maybe a little breakdown in technique, especially when run blocking. How did you evaluate the run game and offensive line's performance?
Yeah, well, let me start with the run game. And we obviously have to get more production out of the run game. We're going to need to. And I really attribute it to everybody. You know, it always starts with coaching. But the offensive line didn't play as well as they're capable of. We didn't block on the perimeter like we're capable at receiver. And the runners didn't run consistently enough with that commitment. And that word commitment is what I thought we lacked in the run game. With the runners committing to the run, with the linemen committing to what they see. Montana did a lot up front. They did some things that they didn't do all last year. They came out and ran some 3-4 on us. And so, you know, it slowed us down a little bit. But that's not an excuse because every team's going to come in and do some different things. But I think with experience, those guys, you know, they were a little bit hesitant, and it showed.
On defense, you're able to get about eight or nine guys snaps on the defensive line and kind of a lot of rotation. Did you notice throughout the game that they were in better fitness, I guess, by the end and refreshed?
Well, I think it helps us to have a lot of guys, but part of the reason we do that is because we don't have a lot of really good guys. So it allows you to play more. But, you know, these, especially with these spread teams, there's so much lateral running and chasing the ball. You know, you gotta keep fresh guys in there. And I think every good defense, though, they have, you know, three good inside guys and three good ends. So you're rolling at least six guys and six to eight.
Overall, the contributions of your freshman and a true freshman in the game.
Yeah, how many did we play?
12.
We had 12? No kidding. We're probably not done there. Well, let me think through them. Of course, A.J. and Kurt, we talked about, did a steady job. Justin, he got initiated a little bit. Coleman.
Marlon.
Showed some good things. The two tight ends played well. Brendan and Cam had played with a nice calm. Brian Randolph, I think, is going to be good for us back there. Pleased with him. Where is it, Jimmy?
Right here.
Oh, I see it. Dar, he didn't play his best. But he caused a turnover. Oh, yeah, he's not a true one. Oh, I'm looking at, where am I looking? Oh, I see. Yeah, DeAnthony Arnett got in, but he didn't do anything. Tiny didn't do anything. I mean, I don't mean that in a bad way. He only played a few snaps. bench at Dallas. So the guys that kind of stood out, played a lot of snaps, A.J., Kurt, Marlon Lane, Brian Randolph, Justin Coleman, and the tight ends. Yeah, Vincent recovered a fumble. I think what was pleasing about that class is you didn't see them just, you know, panic and be so wide-eyed they couldn't perform. They had a nice calm about them. So that was good.
You guys threw a lot to, obviously, Derek and Justin, but do you feel like moving forward you guys are going to have to spread it around more? I think Michael only got one catch and the slot only got one catch. Do you feel like...
Well, not if we can feed it to those two about 15 a game. We won't have to. But if they start taking that away, then we're going to need some other guys. But those guys are pretty good receivers. I mean, they are. And, you know, what I don't want to do is say, hey, we don't want to show a tendency that we're throwing to Justin Hunter and then throw it to these other guys and they make 5 yards. So I'd rather just feed it to the guy as long as he can catch it. It's kind of my backyard in me, you know. I mean, that guy's good. Throw it to him. Well, they got two on him. Well, give it a shot anyway. You know? And if they stop it, then we'll think about something else.
How much of the 6 fumbles was the weather? How much was ball security?
Well, there were some fundamental problems more than anything. I mean, it usually goes back to fundamentals. And what the weather does is it exposes poor fundamentals, if that makes sense. So it's the weather doesn't cause it. It's poor fundamentals. But sometimes you get away with poor fundamentals when everything's perfect or you don't get it hit right. And so it was, you know, I'm A, glad that we saw it, and B, really happy that it didn't come back to haunt us. Because if those would have been 6 turnovers, guys, this would have been a whole different ball game. I mean, it would have.
Tyler had the 2 picks that were called back. Were either of those bad throws or was it just the...
I thought one was... They were both probably bad decisions. One was a real bad one. The other one was one of those... you know, I think Tyler's biggest challenge right now is not losing his aggressiveness, not losing his risk-taking, but knowing when to drop it down. You know, hit a check down. I don't think he's hit one yet in 7 starts. He might have 1 because he was scrambling and he's about to get hit, but and that'll come. We saw there were only a few plays where I'd say, but what I don't want to do is say, you know, throw it to the check down, Tyler, and then all of a sudden he loses that juice, because that helps us when we can push it down the field.
After the game, about 3rd and short situations, and one, you know, obviously wanting to convert all of them. His chain,
yeah.
And maybe an option there on the ground for you guys.
Well, he may be. If we had about 4 or 5 in the game, didn't we? 2 of them were sneaks. We only really got stuffed on 1, I think. Is that right? Yeah, 1 time. And, but we should be 100%.
Derek,
Tyler's a bad sneak guy. I mean, but you got to have a quarterback sneak. I mean, you have to.
Why is he a bad sneak guy?
Well, he stands straight up and he just kind of looks around, and people just, we got to get him lower.
Derek, how is Rajon Neal's, is his...
Yeah, we need. No, I think Rajon's back, and we're going to use him this week. We got to get him in the game plan, and we need him because he brings a little juice out in space.
Use him at all. Or
running back, maybe in a slot. We'll see. But we need to use Rajon, and we're going to.
Derek, do you subscribe to the biggest improvement first game to second game? If so, why?
There's a lot of merit to that, and we need a big jump, and I told our team that. Our ability to compete with these guys this week is going to really depend on how much we improve in a lot of these areas. So I think there's a lot of merit, you know, but really that statement probably comes from teams who play really bad in the first game, and then they look like a whole new team in the second game, and that happens too.
Like last year, I mean, you go from UT Martin to Oregon. Is it hard to measure, or did you see improvement against Oregon last week?
I felt like we did. Of course, it was a totally different circumstance because it wasn't just the kind of the caliber of team we were playing, but what they did on offense, it was almost like a first game. So this will be a true second game. You're playing an opponent who has offensive skill as good as anybody and can score points as good as anybody you'll play. And it's going to be that spread up tempo. So it's going to be a challenge, you know. I'd rather not play these two kind of teams this early, but that's what we face.
How key will it be to get a couple sustained drives to kind of try to keep that sustained spread offense off the field?
Well, you know what was good to see on offense? We had two drives that were a couple of plays, and then we had about three. I think we had three drives over 10 plays. 12, 13, but that happened in the scrimmage too. We had a 16-play drive. So we've shown an ability to stay with it and sustain a long drive, and we've shown an ability to, you know, hit a big play. And there's times in games where you need both. And a lot of it just depends on what the other guys are giving you.
Coach, it seems like a few of the spread teams actually commit people to blocking. Now, Cincinnati's a vertical passing team. Those plays need time to develop. So is this one of those games where you feel like you can get a really good pass rush on them?
I hope so. But, of course, what they do to slow it down is you don't know when that vertical pass is coming. So that's where it can be. It's still, they do a good job with all the other stuff of slowing your D-line down. And then, boom, you're over there looking around, uh-oh, it's a drop-back deal. So we're going to have to... Just like every game, we're going to have to try to get to the quarterback. Nothing changes there.
Does Kalash remind you of any quarterbacks you've seen before?
I don't want to compare him to anybody, but it's rare to find guys who have the ability to run the ball and then be a real accurate down-the-field thrower the way he is. And that's why he was all-conference first team. That's why he's got probably more production than anybody. He's good.
Derek, when Cincinnati looks at you guys on video, what do you think is going to stick out to Cincinnati about you?
I don't know. They're not going to worry about our run game very much. Probably going to see a lot of holes in our defense. They're going to probably be feeling pretty good this week. That's what I would think.
Daniel,
I think this is going to be a big game for them, too. You know, they had a tough season last year, and this is probably a early monumental game, you know, in their eyes to keep their program at the level it's been. So we're going to get their best. There's no question. They're going to be revved up and ready to go.
Coach, what do you guys do when the game is delayed? Like, what did y'all do for that hour and 40 minutes?
Well, nothing. I felt like it was important to get them to take their pads off, take their shoes off, relax, because what I didn't want them to do is they're just sitting there like this, listening to music. You know, that's what they do before the game. And you can't do that for 2 hours and then go play for three. And that's what I was most concerned of. So, I mean, I'm yelling at them, take your pads off and relax. You have to make them relax. You got to scream at them to relax. And it's hard for them. Like, we got to play. So I said, it might be 2 hours. Well, then when I told him that, you know, man, that is a long time. So I told, you know, as long as I had a good 20-minute warning for him, I knew we could get him back. That was the hardest thing, and then they finally did. Then they started all saying they're hungry, you know, because they're just laying around not thinking about anything. So we had to manage that. But we did get him some peanut butter sandwiches at halftime. Because it is, it's a long time. You know, you eat pregame meal 4 hours for a game. That's a lot of hours without eating with the energy you're putting in, you know, but it's that old saying, a hungry dog fights harder.
Did you feel kind of bad for the guys that didn't get
to run? You don't want to feed them too much.
The guys that didn't get to run through the tee, had all the anticipation.
Yeah.
Not get to do it.
Yeah. We'll get it this week.
Can you talk about Daniel
Hood, how he played?
Dan played about how he's been practicing all year, which is good. He's just a steady, he plays with good gap discipline and kind of plugs those holes in the middle. So he's doing a good job for us.
How did Couch play before you?
Mo did good too. I don't even, you know, we don't even know when he got hurt. So he kept playing. He showed some good things. Mo's going to be good. It's just time. We got to have time.
You rotated in maybe nine defensive linemen. Is that something you want to do all year? Is that situational, depending on your opponent, your game?
It just depends on a lot of things. You know, what the offense is doing, the tempo of the game, number of plays. There's a lot of things. And it's still early, so we're kind of seeing how these guys perform. And, you know, a lot of new faces in there.
So, the plan to use both Michael and Matt on punts, could you elaborate on why you guys
will? Well, they're both talented, first of all. And they kind of, you know, some guys do some things better than the other guys, depending on the situation. So we'll see how that plays out. You know, Mike's got a little cleaner operation. Of course, he has more experience in games. But Matt's a big leg, and he's got big leg talent. Yeah, now, I thought the kicking game, we had a very sound kicking game. I was pleased with it. Our coverage units were great on kickoff, our kickoff return game. I think our average drive start was outside the 40 or something. It's good. We didn't punt the ball as well as we needed to, but we made a big play, made a big turnover. You know, if you get one of those a game on special teams, it usually makes a difference.
Derek, Justin made some catches over the middle, found some space. Just talk about his role, maybe trying to take his game up as opposed to just being that deep guy or that guy in the end zone.
Yeah, well, he's worked very hard at being a complete receiver. And the progress he's made in the last 8 months has been monumental. And it's a tribute to, A, he's got very gifted physical skills. He does. And B, he's worked at it. He's worked really hard. He's put on, I think, 10 or 15 pounds, which is a lot of weight for a little guy. And it shows. He's stronger. He's more elusive. And we're moving him around. You know, we just had him at one position last year. So we're trying to get him where he plays in the slot. He's backside. He's in the, at the Z. Because we just think he's going to be one of those guys that everybody's going to try to, they got to take him out of the game. So we're going to have to figure out ways to generate some throws to him.
You're comfortable Channing in the passing game? It seemed like he was pretty active there. Is that where he's going to get more involved in the offense rather than carrying the ball?
Well, he does a little bit of everything. You know, we move him around. He can play some tight end, some wing, some fullback. We pop him out wide. You know, he's the classic jack of all trades guy.
Coach,
and I'm thinking master at nothing. But I didn't say that.
Coach, with everything that looms next week with Gainesville and the opener and everything, how do you keep guys from looking past this week? To
with who? Gainesville. Oh. Oh, man. I don't. If we're looking past anybody, we got some serious issues, especially when we watch the film of this team. So that's not even a... I don't even need to address that with the team. This team, 33 games in 3 years and two BCS. I mean, what else do we need to say we're playing a heck of an opponent? It blows me away. With everybody back, an all-conference quarterback, I mean, this team's good. So, I mean, I'll be surprised if we're not big underdogs, but that's just, not that that matters, but... I don't know. We get caught up in names too much.
What do you think Austin Johnson
played? He did okay. You know, the more space there is, the tougher it is for Austin. And that's what these spread teams do.
Anything else, guys?
All right, guys, thanks.
It's visible. I mean, the rain is audible. The thunder is visible. The concern for Cincinnati is palpable. Let's bring Brocky back in here, still on hold. Brocky, are you there?
I'm here, Chief.
That's why you're my boy, Brocky, because you hung on for that press conference. Let me say something about Dooley, and I want your thoughts, and we're going to get Double A in here as well, and I've got Harvey next to me and Briny Boy Hartman, and it's Labor Day, and we're just relaxing here while we labor while others just kick their feet up, which is the way it ought to be here on a rainy day. Is that guy's honesty after going through the former years not just so refreshing, Brock? I really hope it works out for this guy because he's doing a lot of the right things, and he's just so darn fun, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, Tony. He does a lot of the right things, absolutely. And the good thing about when you hear him at a press conference, he's seen what you've seen. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he doesn't mind to break it down for you, and he doesn't mind to call. I don't want to say call kids out, but he doesn't gloss over things, and just basically tells it like it is, which I love out of a coach.
Yeah, you know, exactly. And this thing he did Saturday night with the orange pants, when I heard him talk about why he arrived at wearing them, I said, this guy right here is just, he's just pitch perfect in terms of his tone and approach. He said, I'm watching some clips from the 60s and 70s, and I saw some of the coaches wear them, and I thought, I'm going to get me a pair of orange britches. I'm going to put them on. I love that. I love that.
Yeah, that's cool. It was cool. I had no problem with it at all. So, Brock, like I said, Tony, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people, for some reason or another, are still panicked over his recruiting and this and that and other, and the way that he's managing the program. And, boy, I just have no fault for that whatsoever.
No.
I mean,
no.
He's done a lot of right things since he's been here.
All right, let's talk Cincinnati. Dooley sounded concerned. I picked him. Friday, I had to pick either them or Florida. I think Tennessee goes to Florida and gets a win this year. I don't believe in Florida. And I believe in Cincinnati a little more than I believe in Florida. I just think Cincinnati has the ability to make plays, and they might prove me a liar and get blown out Saturday. I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think when you look at Cincinnati, Brock?
Well, I'll tell you this, Basilio. When me and Bino sat in with Sean in Philly Saturday before last, I said I thought Cincinnati was one of the three key games on the schedule. I had Cincinnati, Georgia, and South Carolina. And to me, this is just a must-win. However, I think it's going to be a difficult football game. And now, Tony, I know that you've been to see Cincinnati play several times, particularly when Brian Kelly was there. I slipped up there last year to watch them play Oklahoma. And that was a classic example of the Neyland Maximum. The team with the fewest mistakes would win, because Cincinnati basically shot themselves in the foot right out of that football game with some of the mistakes they made.
DJ Woods fumbled two balls, they probably get Oklahoma.
And Oklahoma chased him down about the 5-yard line and punched it out, and that would have been a touchdown. And then he fumbled a punt on about their own 3 or 4 yard line.
He's a great athlete.
Oklahoma recovered and they punched it in. And that was basically the ball game when that happened. So. I tell you what, he's a good football player, but he did make those two big mistakes. And that little running back you brought up, I'm just talking about the one game that I saw them in person. I thought they were a pretty decent football team. And, Tony, the one thing that I would warn Tennessee, well, not the fans, but the players especially, is from what I gathered at that ball game, they reminded me of the Hawaii of the mainland. And I wouldn't say they play dirty, but they play on the edge, and they run their mouths. They get in your face and all. So our guys better be ready to try to keep a cool head amongst themselves, because that's kind of their game. And they're an emotional football team. I'm talking from the coaching staff all the way down. You could just, I mean, it was palpable in that stadium last year, and I watched them play. So they kind of play on the edge that way, and Tennessee just needs to be composed, because they'll try to – I don't know if – I guess maybe it's intimidation they try to throw at you. I don't know, but like I said, I wouldn't call them a dirty team, but they do play on the edge, and I'll just leave it at that.
Well, it's something that Kelly instilled in them, and before that, they had the guy that's at Michigan State now, and those are two hard-nosed guys. And you know, the problem last year was they played that way, and they were too undisciplined, and they beat themselves,
that's
as you
right.
said, in several games. And you know, talking to a guy from UC last night, the one thing that they're really concerned about is last year their secondary got just lit up at times. And when you look at that matchup for Tennessee, if Tyler Bray comes out and he's not confused and he has a good day and they pick their spots and they can run the ball at all effectively. And by the way, Wesley Kitts from Halls, hats off to him on a really dismal day. The kid had averaged 7.6 yards per carry. Had a 65-yard day. Had a touchdown. Had a touchdown run. That's right. And I feel good for that boy. He lost his father over the summer. It was a long summer for that kid and that family. And so a good bright spot for them. So maybe you can run the ball on them a little bit. You know what I'm going to be really curious to see, guys, is how long Dooley goes with Poole. Because he's already talking about how if Poole doesn't step his game up, and he's already shown this in other positions, he'll go to somebody and he'll do it pretty quickly.
Yeah, he's got a short leash, Basilio. That's another thing I kind of like about
him. I do, too.
And at that position, we've got to have production, Tony. That running game's got to get going.
Got to.
And I'll say this. If our running game is no better this week than it was last week, I'll be surprised if we win the football.
Agreed.
So, I really don't know how. It's just going to be an interesting game. I don't know how. I just think it's a huge game. It's a must win. Tennessee, you got to win these type of games at home. And although it's not, it's not a marquee name like others on our schedule, that would be a big step in the right direction as far as I'm concerned. Kiffin couldn't do it when we had UCLA here, two or three years
ago. That's right.
I mean, and Fulmer couldn't do it the year before out in Pasadena.
That's
games
right.
That you've got to win, and we've not came through. And to me, this is kind of in that same category.
As much as we like Dooley, Brocky, and all three of us here do, you have to win this game. If you're the coach, though, if you're going to be the coach
Absolutely.
Of the University of Tennessee and you're going to be the guy that's going to get this program back where it's been and where it's used to being, you just can't lose to Cincinnati at home. I mean, you just can't do it.
You know what it's
I
like?
Agree with you, Double A.
You know what I'm going to compare it to? Hey, Brock.
I've took up enough time.
Yeah.
I've got one more question as far as this last week's game, and I just not received an answer. And one of the things that I've questioned coming into this, it's really my only question that I still have in regard to Dooley and his staff, is what are they going to do game management-wise to help us win a football game? And at the end of the first half, with about a minute and 30, minute and 40 to go or whatever, Montana was having the punt. And the Jumbotron showed that Tennessee still had a timeout. Did we have a timeout or not at that point? Does anybody know?
I don't believe so. I think we were out at that point.
No, we had one left. We had one left. Yeah, we had one left.
Well, I tell you what, Alex, I don't know. I mean, I was, and that's what it was showing on the scoreboard. I mean, I was fuming. You know, when you got a high-octane offense like ours, and you get the ball back with a minute and 30 to go and in decent field position, I just don't understand at all why you don't take that timeout. Instead of getting the ball with 30 seconds to go with a timeout, you're getting it with a minute and 30 to go when you can dictate by the way you throw the football or whatever you call to stop the clock down the field.
If nothing more than just to get some reps in your two-minute drill, you know? If nothing
exactly.
more,
That's
I mean, even if you don't
point.
Score, just get some practice there. I agree with that.
Yeah, so that's one thing I'm still, I'm a little concerned about, Tony, is in crucial situations like that. When coaches can make a difference, can these guys do it? That's just something that's not been answered yet. So.
Brocky, thank you.
All right, guys, thank you.
RIP, by the way, the great Leroy Selman. We take a brief timeout and continue with more. That is a terrible tragedy to lose that guy so young. As we continue on the other side, 546-2148. 888-859-1180. I want to personally thank Georgia for embarrassing the conference over the weekend. I wanted LSU to embarrass the conference, too, the same way that Ole Miss embarrassed the conference. You kind of get in the theme here. I wanted Auburn to embarrass the conference, too.
They sold their soul, didn't they? They sold their soul.
They came very close.
They sold their soul.
They came very close. How funny would that have been?
It was awesome.
To lose to that bad Utah State team. As we take a brief timeout and continue, I'm going to liken this Cincinnati game to a game early in the former era, and I'm going to tell you about it when we continue after this.